You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
From time to time, I will speak about our identity in the Lord. And today I want to speak about our relationship to God, our Father, who is our shepherd. Sheep are basically an economic commodity. There can be a personal relationship with the shepherd. We know from the Bible that a sheep can be even like a pet. But basically, a flock is a measure of the competence and wealth of the shepherd. I would like to say that sheep will never be like their shepherd. You take a look at sheep, you take a look at their shepherd, one of these things is not like the other. But the lines between sheep and shepherd get blurred because of the Messiah. This metaphor of sheep and shepherd is not absolute. In real life, sheep never become a shepherd. However, in spiritual reality, our shepherd became a sheep. Let's take a look at some of the verses wherein Jesus is described as being a sheep or a lamb. In John 1, verse 29, the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's Jesus, eternal Son of the living God, coming to earth as God's Lamb. And then we find that the Messiah, Jesus, was offered up as a sacrifice. In the history of Acts, we find that Philip, going up to the chariot of an Ethiopian eunuch, approaches a man who is reading from the scripture. This is in Acts 8, verses 32 through 35. The passage of the scripture which the Ethiopian eunuch was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The Ethiopian eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. So our shepherd, the Messiah Jesus, became a sheep. He became a lamb. He became a sheep. He became a sacrifice. Now, the sheep-shepherd metaphor is both corporate and individual. You have a flock of sheep relating to a shepherd. You have an individual sheep relating to a shepherd. And in viewing oneself in relationship to the shepherd, I suggest that we emphasize the individual relationship with God as a priority to the corporate. Why would I want us to emphasize the individual relationship of sheep to shepherd rather than flock of sheep to shepherd? Because Jacob, who was the first person to call God a shepherd, called him my shepherd. We find in Jacob's blessing in Genesis 48, verses 15 through 16, he, Jacob, blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and may my name live on in them and the names of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Jacob did not call this God our shepherd. He was going down into Egypt with about 70 family members. He could have said our shepherd. He says, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd." Now, this is important because Jacob was a shepherd. He understood the shepherd-sheep relationship. Being a shepherd, watching over flocks, ended up being his family business. In Egypt, these people were set apart to watch over and to raise sheep. And Jacob understood the relationship. Now, like Jacob, you are his sheep. And you should personalize that. I am his sheep. Let's look at Psalm 23. I will read from the Complete Jewish Bible, a translation by David Stern, just to make that which is very familiar to us be a little bit less familiar. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6, a psalm of David. Adonai is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He has me lie down in grassy pastures. He leads me by quiet water. He restores my inner person. He guides me in right paths for the sake of his own name. Even if I pass through death-dark ravines, I will fear no disaster, for you are with me. Your rod and staff reassure me. You prepare a table for me, even as my enemies watch. You anoint my head with oil from an overflowing cup. Goodness and grace will pursue me every day of my life, and I will live in the house of Adonai for years and years to come. Like David, you are his sheep. Remember, this is David who had a history of being a shepherd, and he emphasized a personal relationship with the shepherd and not a corporate relationship, a flock to the shepherd, but the individual sheep to the shepherd. Again, like David, you are his sheep. Now, our Messiah Jesus prayed the Psalms. Undoubtedly, he prayed Psalm 23. But he also was the shepherd. He spoke of himself as a shepherd in John chapter 10. Now, relying on Psalm 23, let's look at John 10, the John 10 description of sheep-shepherd relationships. John 10, verses 1 through 5, the Lord said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." In John 10, we find out, shepherds call sheep out, and they lead the sheep. They go first, and the sheep follow the shepherd. Now, here are some things about sheep. If they are patiently worked with, they will respond to their names. And so, when it's written that to him, to the shepherd, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and the shepherd calls his own sheep by name, it's really saying that this shepherd has spent some personal, devoted, quantity, quality time with individual sheep. Sheep only recognize their names when they have been patiently worked with by their shepherd. However, they do recognize both the voice and the face of their shepherds, and they recognize the face of other sheep as well. Now, sheep, compared to shepherds, are stupid, but they're not really like totally dumb animals. Also, sheep have emotions. They can love, they can hold grudges, they convey their emotions through the positioning of their ears. I did some research on sheep because I was, you know, interested. In a study published in Animal Welfare, it speaks of sheep and emotion. It says that sheep are able to experience emotions such as fear, anger, rage, despair, boredom, disgust, and happiness. Like dogs, like other animals that are fairly intelligent. A study from Cambridge said that, like humans and some primates, they can pick up emotional cues in both humans and other sheep. They are cued into, they understand facial expressions. Researchers in the UK found that sheep have the same neural mechanisms for visual recognition that people do, and it allows them to remember the faces of at least 50 individual humans and other sheep for more than 2 years. They can solve puzzles. They can remember what they've learned, and they can adapt to changed circumstances. These are sheep. Now, perhaps sheep find their security in their flock, and the flock finds its security with its shepherd. But a good shepherd knows each individual sheep, and the individual sheep knows the good shepherd. By the way, a good shepherd earns the affections and loyalty of his sheep, and you are his sheep. Let's continue to look at a good shepherd described in John chapter 10. The Lord Jesus said in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. That's from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. Speaking of sheep, they are vulnerable to a wide variety of predators. Like Psalm 23, Jesus will use his rod and staff to defend his sheep. He will defend us, and he will not desert his flock. The Messiah Jesus has a relationship with each sheep and with the whole flock. And the relationship of the sheep to the shepherd determines the composition of the flock, not who bore or sired them. You can bring in sheep from other flocks. You can join them to your flock, and eventually they will relate to you as a shepherd, and they will become acculturated to one another. Now, an amazing difference between sheep and shepherds in the realm of human-sheep relationships is that our shepherd is also the one who totally identified with us. He was and he is God's lamb. And those who receive Jesus as shepherd and love him end up entering into aspects of his relationship with others. Looking at John 21, verses 15 through 17, the Lord Jesus has just prepared a breakfast for his disciples on the Kinneret, on the Lake of Galilee. And it's written, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. Jesus said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Jesus' sheep, through association with him as shepherd, are destined to enter into what will ultimately be rulership over the earth and are called to help shepherd one another. Now, I would like to take a look at the sheep shepherd benefits as found in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, again reading from the complete Jewish Bible, a psalm of David. Adonai is my shepherd. Adonai is the Hebrew word for Lord. Adonai is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The sheep knows that it is cared for, and the sheep knows who cares for it. Verse 2. He has me lie down in grassy pastures. He leads me by quiet water. He restores my inner person. It's a restful relationship, and it is a relationship that is restorative. When it says that he has me lie down in grassy pastures, sheep eat grass. God is interested in having you rest in the midst of his provision. He will lead you to places of refreshing. He will restore your inner being. This is a restorative relationship, and you are the Lord's sheep. He guides me in right paths for the sake of his own name. It's a relationship that is marked by reliance. There is authority inherent in the relationship. The sheep is guided for the sake of his name. From my understanding, the shepherd is glorified or despised depending upon how he cares for his sheep. And you are his sheep. Our God, our King, he is in a council of deities. They are lesser deities. There is no God like him. There is no ultimate ruler, shepherd, or comparison. But take a look in Exodus 15, verse 11. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? God has a reputation in the heavenly realm for being the shepherd. Psalm 86, verse 8, there is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. You protect, you liberate, you provide. You are amazing. Psalm 89, verses 5 through 8, the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord, a God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all those who are around him? O Lord, God of hosts, who is like you, O mighty Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. There is no God like your God. He is the shepherd of his people, and he is vindicated by the wisdom of his shepherding nature. He redeems, he guards, he guides, he provides, he brings them into a relationship with himself, and ultimately those sheep shall enter into his labor. Verse 4, even if I pass through death-dark ravines, I will fear no disaster, for you are with me. The sheep, through experience, believes the shepherd is capable. The sheep will be protected by the shepherd. The shepherd has the perspective necessary to provide for that sheep. The shepherd has the tools, the weaponry necessary to protect those sheep. And Jesus is the type of shepherd that will never desert his sheep, and you are his sheep. Your rod and staff reassure me. The shepherd's tools for protection and governance provide emotional security, and again, you are his sheep. The metaphor begins to break down, not speaking strictly of sheep shepherd, but really of a human being who is being shepherded. And take a listen to what it is that is said concerning a human being that is being shepherded. You prepare a table for me even as my enemies watch. Right, the metaphor breaks down. This is a human in relationship to deity, God scene. And it says, you prepare a table for me even as my enemies watch. Now, are these enemies in chains forced to watch a victory feast? I don't know. Are they out in the distance looking, wishing that they could harass or destroy God's sheep? I don't know. Even if the enemies are not subdued, they are still helpless to disrupt the provision of the Lord for the sheep, for the person. And the foundation of the sheep's security and ability to enjoy the feast which is set before him is the shepherd who provides the feast. Moving on, you anoint my head with oil from an overflowing cup. The shepherd anoints his sheep. Verse 6, goodness and grace will pursue me every day of my life. Tov v'chesed, goodness and loving kindness, goodness and loving intervention, these are the shepherd's sheepdogs, and they are pursuing, they are following you every day of your life. And the psalm ends, and I will live in the house of Adonai for years and years to come. He has a destiny for his sheep, and you are his sheep. I encourage you, see yourself as his sheep. See yourself as part of his flock. It is a comforting identity. Faith in this Psalm 23 reality opens the door for the experience the psalmist celebrated. And as you love your shepherd, you will grow to be like him, because we are to care for one another. Those who have been loved are to love others. The Lord Jesus said, love one another. He was our shepherd. Love one another as I have loved you. John 13, verses 34 through 36, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Now it seems too much to think of caring for one another, sharing this shepherd's heart, but that's exactly what spiritual maturity looks like. At the breakfast that Jesus prepared for his disciples, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Simon, son of John, Peter said, Yes, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, If you love me, tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, tend my sheep. So the Lord Jesus has told Peter what to do. And do you remember when Peter said, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, Where I go, you can't follow me now, but you will follow later. Listen to this. The Lord said to Peter, You will follow me later. And in this next section, he speaks of what that means to Peter. In John 21, verses 18 and 19, Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, Follow me. Jesus said earlier, Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Jesus saying to Peter, Take care of my people and follow me, follow me, follow me even to the place of crucifixion. So, dear ones, let's follow. Let's first follow into being a sheep, maintaining a restful, reliant trust, and experiencing the benefit of being the Lord's sheep. Remember, our shepherd is the Lamb of God. He knows our frame. He knows our weakness, and he is the Lamb of God forever. The forever Lamb leads his people with empathy because he was led. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. As we follow, we'll be changed and become like the Lamb who shepherds us. He is well able to accomplish this in us. We'll close with the benediction from Hebrews 13, verses 20 through 21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus the Messiah, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord is your shepherd.
Love and War is written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the books God's True Love and For the Sake of the Fathers. To purchase copies of David's books, please go to loveofgodproject.org. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, from the album Combustion, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. For more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, God's True Love, or For the Sake of the Fathers, visit us on restorationfellowshipny.com, loveofgodproject.org, book.forthesakeofthefathers.com, or you can follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, Love and War DH, and For the Sake of the Fathers. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_DH@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean.